May I tell you this morning, as this message goes forth, I pray you hear what the Spirit of God is saying in 163 words. Amen.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. It's great to have you joining us today as Pastor Bill continues his study in the New Testament epistle of 1 John. Now, 1 John tells us in chapter 4, verse 1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God." So, let's join Pastor with today's message, Two Spirits.
You know, this morning as we look at 1 John, we're going through this incredible epistle. You know, we're going to be looking at there's only, two spirits that are in the world today. Amen? And it's important that we remember the theme of 1 John. And I usually, every service, I mention it. It's, of course, 1 John 5:20. And the theme is real life. We have real life, real love, real power, real fellowship. Amen? All those things. And so, remember what it said. Let me just read 1 John 5:20. It says, "And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true," or who is real, genuine, "and we are in Him who is true," praise God, "and in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." Now, I want you to look at the world just for a moment in your spiritual eyes, okay? The world that we live in, we know, we've learned through God's Word, not me, but through the Holy Word of God, that really there are only two families that exist in any generation on this planet. Amen? You're going to have to do better than that this morning. There are only two families. Amen? Thank you. And that is, we either belong to the children of God or we belong to the children of the devil. Amen? We are either in Adam, and in Adam, everybody's fallen and everybody's going to die if they don't get out of Adam. And anyone can get out of the Adam's family if you turn to Christ. Amen? And the way to do that is that now that you're in Christ, it says that all shall live. Praise God for that. Now listen, every person on the earth right this moment, in this generation or any generation, okay, right this very minute, no matter how rich they are, no matter what nation they're from, no matter anything about that individual, they are only, right this very minute, they're on only two roads, because there are only two roads in this life. There is the narrow road, we know the narrow way, it leads to life, amen? Few be there that find it. And then there's that broad way, the broad road, it leads to destruction. Think about that. Man, it leads to hell. I don't want that road, do you? So we have two families, we have two roads, and we also know that no matter who you are in this life, there are only truly two foundations a person can build upon. You're either going to build upon the foundation of the rock, which is Christ Jesus our Lord, amen? Or you're going to build your life on sand, and storms are going to come, and winds are going to come, and they're going to blow down your house or blow your life away because you're not on the right foundation. So we have two families, we have two roads, we have two foundations, and we also find that there are only really two types of wisdom in this world, the wisdom of God and the wisdom of this world. And God says the wisdom of the world is foolishness. Now, with all that being said, we just read verse 6. And verse 6 just told us that there are only two spirits that are operating in the world today in any given generation. And that is, number one, the spirit of truth. Number two, the spirit of error. Now, with that being said, remember that 1 John, the purpose, one of the purposes that he wrote 1 John is because of the false teachers and the false prophets, which we call the Gnostics and so forth. And look at verse 26, if you will, in chapter 2. He says, "These things I've written to you concerning those who try," didn't mean they're going to, but they try to deceive you. Now, the whole book of John, or 1 John, what is the deception all about? Well, the deception is, who is Jesus Christ? Who is he? And so they were trying to twist who he was and so forth. Now, so John, the first thing he does, he warns his readers, okay, of every generation, us as well. He says, listen, I'm warning you about those who claim to be Christians. They identify as Christians. They're in your fellowship. They worship like you do. They raise their hands like you do, man. They even talk like Christians, but really, the fact of the matter is, they are wolves. They're wolves in sheep clothing. They're not sheep at all. They're false teachers. Now, the second thing that John is warning us about this morning is that we have to go back historically now, 2,000 years ago, because the church service then is different than the church service today. I mean, when you come to church here, you know where you're going to sit. Yeah, you do. You have your name written on it. Yeah, and no one better get in your chair. Amen? All right. So it wasn't like that back then. They didn't have chairs. They didn't have pews. They met in houses, okay? They met in homes. And so back then, let's say that here I am, I'm from another village, but I feel like God has called me. And here I am, I'm preaching what I believe to be the truth of God's word. And so, hey, there's going to be a house church meeting, you know, and so forth. And I knock on the door. Oh, come on in. And they say, we love the Lord. And they say, hey, what would you like to share something? Well, you better believe I want to share with all of you. Now, the problem was, the person who was going to speak, was it the spirit of truth speaking through that individual, or was it the spirit of error? So the sheep at that time, and especially today, do they need to discern what is true and what is false? Okay, that's what we're in, and these six verses are about. Now, I want you to listen to me. We have 163 words in six verses. I've been up nearly all night tossing to and fro over these words. They're so beautiful. They're so incredible that we really should be on our knees right now before God. May I tell you this morning, as this message goes forth, which I have gone back and forth in prayer about how to deliver it, only wanting his will. My prayer for you this morning is, he who hath ears to hear, I pray you hear what the Spirit of God is saying in 163 words. Amen? Now let's look at verse 1. John starts out with the beautiful heart of a pastor. He says, beloved or loved ones, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Now let's clear something up. When it says here, do not believe every spirit, the word, of course, in the Greek is pneuma, breath. It actually is talking about those who speak, okay? So it could be a pastor, it could be pastor teacher, it could be evangelist, it could be a prophet, it could be any Christian, anyone who is going to share God's word with you. Okay, so he starts off in this verse 1 here, he starts off with two commands, okay? The first command, literally, do not believe every spirit, every teaching. Don't do that. Or you could actually, in the Greek, it would read this way, stop believing every teaching, okay? Meaning that the sheep there that John was writing to, some of them are maybe being led away by the spirit of error, away from the spirit of truth. So there's a warning there. So the second command is to test the spirits. Test who's teaching. Now listen carefully. This is a positive thing, not a negative thing. It's not for the, in other words, there are people like, I'm going to go to church today, but I'm going to really listen to that pastor and see if he's worth 2 cents. Yeah, come on. That's not what this means. Okay? This is not condemning the person in the pulpit or teaching. That's not what it's about at all. Christians are not a bunch of fault finders. Amen? Okay. But it means here, you listen to the teaching with your spiritual ears for the purpose of confirming what that individual is saying. Does that make sense? That's what that's about. So, do not believe every spirit, but the command. Test that spirit to see which spirit is speaking through that individual. Is it truth, God's truth, or is it the spirit of error? Now, listen very carefully. The word test here is not singular. So it doesn't mean, pastors, you got to test everybody, okay? That's not what it's saying. It's plural. So it's saying every Christian, all Christians, you need to check out what you're hearing. And that means if you're going to check out what's being spoken from the pulpit or wherever it is, that means you have to know, you should know and want to know the living Word of God for yourself. You need to know doctrine. You need to know why you believe what you believe and or what you believe and why you believe it, loved one. So here it says you test these things. Okay, whenever I test me right now, the things that I'm saying, are they true? I mean, the words that come out of my mouth, the teaching that I'm doing, do they agree with the Word of God? You see what I'm getting at? That's what they were to do. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell you something. We all need to be Bereans. Remember the Bereans? They're in Acts 17, 11. Paul and Silas, they were kind of kicked out of Thessalonica by the Jews, and they ended up in Berea. And they came to Berea, and it says these were fair-minded, or they had the right mindset, a right attitude. It says, then those in Thessalonica, here it comes, in that they received the word. As they were preaching, they received the word with all readiness, with all eagerness. Are you eager this morning to hear God's word? Amen. Okay. They received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily. Search the scriptures daily. Why? It says to find out whether these things were so. Verse 12 then goes, many believed. So what did they do? The Bereans, they not only received the word, but they did something before they received it. They researched that word. Amen? And after they researched the word and they found it was true, then they responded to that word and said, man, I believe what was doing. Now listen, church, if the Bereans, if they were smart enough to check out the greatest apostle that ever lived, I mean, he wrote 14 books of the New Testament. They check him out. You better check me out. You better check everything you hear out. Do you understand? That's what this is talking about. Listen, man, this is so important. You know, look at verse 1 again. It tells us why we need to check these things out. Are you ready? It says, do not believe every spirit. Test the spirits of whether they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets, those who claim to speak for God, have gone into the world, meaning they've gone out to the world, out of the church, continuing to speak for God. So the false prophets, remember, if we went back over to chapter 2, verses 18 and down, 19, we would learn, what did John say? They went out from us because they were not for us. Amen? They were not with us. They weren't believers. And so when it says that they went out here, it means that these false teachers, they departed doctrinally from the truth about who Jesus Christ is. And so they departed from that. And the reason they departed is because, like Jesus, remember what Jesus called false teachers? Matthew, 15? He said, they are wolves in sheep clothing. What did Paul the Apostle in Acts chapter 20, what did Paul call false teachers? He said, they are savage wolves. They want to come in and devour the sheep. He told the elders at Ephesus, they want to come in and devour the sheep. He said, listen, and they want to make disciples after themselves, not disciples after our Lord Jesus Christ. So what does a false teacher, false prophet, what did they do? They claim that they are literally the mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit. Now, the purpose of testing then is to prove the origin of what they are speaking. That's very, very important. For example, let me give you a few scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:20 says this. It's a command, by the way. Do not despise prophecies. Or we could even say, don't despise any of the gifts of the Spirit. Amen? But we are to test. Amen? Very, very important. It says in 1 Corinthians 14:1, another command, it says, pursue love. Go after love with all of your heart. And it says, and desire, that word, or be zealous, be on fire for spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. And then in 1 Corinthians 14:3, Paul writes, but he who prophesies speaks, meaning from the word, from God, the Spirit, speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men. So today, a lot of people think that prophecy, I'm going to give you a word, but it's sometimes they rebuke you. Well, prophecy is not for rebuke. The Word of God just told us what it was for. Is it to bring encouragement? Yes. Is it to bring comfort? Is it to build up the hearer? That's exactly what prophecy is for today. So how do you really test prophecy? Well, I just told you how. But also, does it agree with the Word of God? It's very important. Does it agree with God's Word? Does it line up with God's Word? You're to test that, and so forth. Listen, the gifts of the Spirit, they are wonderful. But never confuse the gifts of the Spirit, loved one, with the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit show your ministry, if you will. The fruit of the Spirit show your maturity. The gifts of the Spirit, someone operating in the gifts, is not a sign of character. A one-day-old Christian can operate in the gifts. Amen? Are y'all there? Okay. So we have to be very careful. But we test things. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, another command. It says, test all things, and another command, hold to what is good or what is true, what is genuine. So here's what we should do. Number one, we test what we hear. We test what we read, any books, amen? But we also test whatever we watch. I had someone, I forget who it is, forgive me if that's you, but you gave me a rubber brick, you know, so when I watch TV and they're telling a lie, I can throw that rubber brick at the TV. I'm good. So we are to test everything we hear, read. In other words, watch. Why? We sift everything through the living Word of God, which means you need to study the living Word of God. Amen? Now, in verse 1, it told us again, it says, test the spirits whether they be of God or not. Verse 6 told us there are only two spirits, the spirit of error and the spirit of truth. Now, the spirit of error, what is it for? It's to lead you away from the living God. It's to lead you away from the living truth of God. Now listen, the spirit of error isn't ugly. Do you understand? It's wrapped very nicely. And it almost, when you hear it, it almost sounds like truth. You remember from Peter's 2 Peter about false teachers? They come along, they slither into the church, it says, and they lay destructive heresies. They lay the lie right alongside the truth and slowly blend that in to where it's no longer the truth, it's the lie, but it sounds like the truth. And that's what he's talking about here, because the spirit of error sometimes appears as truth because there's an angel who appears as an angel of light, Satan, behind that. Amen? Now, the spirit of error, listen carefully, is so powerful, especially if you don't know God's word. Especially if you're not a student of the Word of God. If you just trust everything you hear, oh, that's a man of God, and oh, he's written books, and oh, look at the degrees and all these things. Surely he's writing, and you're taking notes, you're going to do what he says. No, take notes, but then check it out. Amen? No, listen, the spirit of error is so powerful, it is so seductive, it seduces a person by deception to believe in, to trust in, to build their lives on a lie. What a terrible thing. Matter of fact, you know how horrible the spirit of error is? People who act and believe and trust that, they really believe that the spirit of error that they are hearing is truth and not a lie. That's how powerful it is. Listen, the source of the spirit of error, we already know, John 8:44, it's the devil. He's the father of every lie, amen? So we need to know that. So Paul the Apostle, when he was writing unto Timothy, in 1 Timothy 4:1, he says this, now the Spirit expressly says, meaning it's certain, it says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith. Now, the latter times, we're in the latter times right now. And we're going to be in the latter times until we're gone. Amen? Okay. So it says some will depart. The word literally would read some will willfully and deliberately depart from the faith or the essential doctrines of Christianity. They'll walk away from it. Now, why? Let me read it to you. Now, the Spirit expressly says in the latter times some will depart from the faith. And the reason? Giving heed to deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. False teachers come in, and you know what they want to do? They steal your identity. That's what they want. Remember savage wolves? What do? They draw disciples after themselves, not after Jesus. They want to steal your identity and give you a brand new identity, okay? They want to create in you a brand new conformity in your thinking, not to the will of God, but to whatever they're teaching. That's what they do. And why? Well, they deceive you. And listen, it's not demons that teach, okay? Demons, the devil, he uses people. He uses false teachers. Amen? Okay. Now, many false teachers, maybe you've learned this by now, but I've seen it throughout all these years now. Many false teachers, they are so good, they are so smooth, they are so lovable, they're so believable, they are so charismatic. I mean, you just like them, okay? You don't even know why you like them. But they can take one scripture and they build their entire ministry on it. One scripture. They isolate one scripture and they build a worldwide ministry on it. And I have seen this happen. Remember Mark 11:24 from Jesus? Remember what he said? Let me read it to you. It says, "Therefore I say unto you," Jesus says, "whatever things," say that, "whatever things," whatever things, would you say that's a big, pretty broad? Okay, Jesus said, "I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray," whatever it is, "well, believe that you receive them." Lord, I want to thank you. When I leave this service today, there's a brand new 2025 Corvette waiting for Bill to open the door for Becky. After that joke last week, I need it. Jesus said, "Whatsoever things you ask when you pray," hey, believe right then. Believe whatever you're asking that you receive it. And you know what Jesus said? You will have it. You ever heard that say, you can have what you say? You ever heard that taught? Okay, that's a false doctrine. But they've taken this one scripture and whatever you say. And then you go, "But I prayed and I believed, but I didn't receive." And they'll go, "Well, the reason you didn't receive is because you didn't believe. Because had you believed, you would have received." Don't call Jesus a liar. You hear me? You see what I'm getting at? That's what they do. They build one scripture and they isolate that. And that's a false teaching, even though that scripture isn't true. It's a living word of God, but it's based on other scriptures together. You can't just have everything you want. You're going to get the will of God. Amen? Okay. Now, with all that being said, we don't want to be tossed to and fro like little children by every wind of doctrine that blows through town. You know, every generation, a matter of fact, we could just say every year. Would you say that every year there's a brand new teaching that comes through? Yeah, I've got a brand new revelation. Nobody else has it. I have it. You got to come and get it. And matter of fact, it's in my book. And I'll give you this book dirt cheap, $300. You can have it. Are you all with me? Okay, loved one, listen. You have to discern, are they speaking the spirit of truth or is it the spirit of error? See, if we really look at what Jesus says in the Bible, when Jesus, like for example, he told us that false prophets and false teachers, they do something. They support their claims by strange signs. You ever notice that? For example, Jesus said in Matthew 24:24, false Christ, false prophets, they're going to rise, here it comes, and show great signs. And it says, to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Do you know, do you ever look and say, why are all these strange things happening? I mean, have you ever been in a service where they have a prayer line, and I'm not beating anybody up, or I'm just talking, I've been there. You know, he's got the microphone, he's praying for everybody, but then all of a sudden he just hits you in the head with the microphone. Now, do you think that was practiced in the Bible? They didn't have microphones. If somebody hit me in the head with a microphone, you know what I'd hit them with? Mario would get out of there and slap them. He takes care of me. Listen, do you really believe that the Holy Spirit is going to fall upon us to glorify man? The Holy Spirit, he said, will glorify, he said, me. I'm not going to glorify that ministry. It's me. Jesus said, he's going to glorify me.
Pastor Bill will conclude today's message on our next broadcast. So please tune in again, won't you? Thank you for listening with us today, and we'll see you next time. So long, everyone. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.